Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Disney vs. Disney Debates podcast is all about finding the answer to one simple question. What is the best Disney movie of all time? Maybe the question isn't that simple. So join us every Saturday as hosts from all across That's Not Canon fight for their movies in one-on-one debates moderated by me, Zane C. Weber, in order to decide once and for all which of Disney's beloved classics or recent hits will take the crown.
Mine.
Save it for the show. Available now on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you find podcasts.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know. I'm Julie Eisentrager, and around the table today with me we have
Miranda Selwood.
And
it's me, KB.
And a very special guest,
Bradley McCaw.
Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Hello. Hi. I don't know why I'm doing this. I think it's because on the way here, I was thinking, I wonder if I could say hello by like singing something from a musical that would be like hello, but I couldn't come up with
hello.
Oh my God. Only like a show that's literally in our town. I'm just trying to think of the shows that are playing here and none of them come to mind.
Funny that. I think what we should do is get to know you a little bit better.
Great. Awesome.
Getting to know you.
That's another one I didn't think of.
Wouldn't be getting to know you quiz without the getting to know you introduction, would it?
Be because sometimes we don't do it because sometimes I'm not here. And sometimes somebody else does it.
I've never done it.
Somebody did it on an episode that I wasn't
on. That
was
Zane. He's allowed
Who
to do
was it.
He's the podfather.
Zane
can do what he wants.
Was it on the last episode I was actually on? Because you weren't here.
Or did you get the song?
This is Inception. Well, I can't remember. I mean, the one thing I took away from it was that I know very little about Floyd Collins and Zane sings really well. That were the two things I remembered.
There you go.
So you learned something.
Yeah, I did.
That's what
really
we're here
did.
For.
Yeah, I really did.
So have you got different answers for this time? Or?
Yeah, I've tried to be honest this time. I lied last time.
Fair.
Just to be ready for this second opportunity.
You knew. Well, so thank you.
Come
now
the third time
here
round.
And there's a song, it's worth it.
But do you know if I'm telling the truth this time?
We'll start a poll.
Okay, fine.
So, Brad, which musical character would other people compare you to?
I think it is probably, I think it's Huey is his name, from Memphis.
Sure.
Take
your word
because
for
he's
it.
Kind of like, he's very energetic. He sort of has a bit of a hunchback. Well, he doesn't hunchback, but like in the show,
yeah,
like he's sort
hunchback.
Of, he's a real individual and he's easily excited. So I think that's a good kind of, I mean, if I talk long enough, I'm going to, you're going to get a point.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. Which musical
is that not a good answer?
No,
I feel like you glossed over like I've,
I don't know.
I'm like, ruined the episode
yeah,
already.
I don't know Memphis no well idea. Enough to agree or disagree with you.
Yeah, right. Well, I've hit a home run already.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Producer Zane says.
Producer Zane.
Good call.
He's saying, geez, you know a lot about musicals.
If you describe someone as a hunchback.
Yeah.
Like, and three people at the table don't know who it is.
Yeah. They're like, I'm not touching that.
All we're getting is Quasimodo.
Well, just be aware.
Have to listen to Memphis.
Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Quasimodo.
That's right.
Just a bigger hunch.
Oh, I don't really know. So what would I like people to think of me?
Yeah.
And so like we're getting like really so
yeah. Yeah.
I want people to look at me and think about this.
Yeah.
I think then Alexander Hamilton from Hamilton.
Alexander Hamilton.
From Hamilton specifically.
Not Alexander Hamilton and anything else. You see Alexander Hamilton.
Well, musical character. That's the only Alexander Hamilton in musicals.
Is he in 1776?
1776. I think. You got it.
Was that the rapping?
He must be.
I think it's that one.
But so I'd probably prefer Hamilton, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It makes no sense, but.
I'll give
fancy
it to
dresser,
you.
Just like you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
a snazzy dresser.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm a very good rapper. Would you like me to throw down some?
Yes, I want to throw down.
Literally throw up, no down. When I was doing a lot more of the original band scene a few years ago, we used to do this thing where our drummer, shout out to Dave Bell, if he happens to be listening to me, was he asking about musicals? Probably not. But he would just start throwing down this beat. He would, and I literally just would have to just rap. And that was this game we would play at a rehearsal. So,
what?
This is true, and it,
so
it
KB,
would always drop a beat. No, we can't because it always gets really, really rude.
Oh, no.
We would start really, really nice and really kind of like I'd like my mum to think of me, and it would end up like, you know,
somewhere else.
That my mum wished that I wasn't. So it's kind of, that's kind of, yeah.
Well, maybe if we get to like 2,000 patrons on Patreon, we'll get Brad rapping. Yeah.
Okay, well then what is your dream role?
I don't know if I said this last time, but I think it would be Valjean. Last time I said one of my shows, I think I'd love to do Valjean one day. I think that would be a real, to not die through a season of that would be a huge accomplishment.
Well, you do die.
Yeah, at the end of every show.
Spoiler
literally.
Alert.
Yeah.
Shit.
Every single night.
I really should have researched that.
You just like change a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I could
bit.
Live.
Lame is needs a bit of a
you can be
Thénardier anyway.
Thénardier doesn't die. Great time all around. Highly recommend it.
All right. Well, I'm going to change my answer to Alexander Hamilton.
Then you get to rap every night.
1776.
But just that bit.
Yeah, that's all. That's...
I thought that sounded strangely like me. No.
That was you. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's right. You're throwing my...
What is your favorite Sondheim show?
I think I might have said this last time. No, I don't know. I'm just going with my gut. Today, it's Merrily We Roll Along.
Wow. Not everyone's favourite Sondheim, that's
for controversial.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, like everyone, I rode the bus singing along to Into the Woods and then fell in love with Sweeney Todd. But I don't know, for some reason that one, maybe I didn't love it as much when I first discovered Sondheim. So maybe that's why I go back to it more often because I don't have so many memories about it.
Mm. Just to be clear, it was a very select everyone that listened to Into the Woods on the bus.
I definitely did.
I did. But it was on my Discman.
And it was like a collective everyone on the bus.
And then you started rapping Into the Woods, right?
Yes, Bernadette Peters, that's right.
Greens, nothing but greens.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
I'd be mad
if it happened.
And just for listeners, that was me pretending to be Miranda. That was me again. Yeah.
It's a very good impression.
Oh, man, I just want to hear Brad rap, guys.
Well, when I come back, again, if I don't completely ruin this one, then I will rap. I promise. And I will write a rap for you.
Oh, my goodness.
Guys.
All right,
that's
a deal.
Excited. Okay, then what is your go-to shower song if it's not the rap that you're writing for us?
Gosh.
Although you probably should practice that
rap. I really should.
Okay.
No, I know what it is. It's a Kerrigan and Laddermilk song, and it is...
It's Raining Men.
It's Raining Men. I'm in the shower. It's raining.
Men.
I'm shimmying. You can't see. It's hideous, but I'm a very good mover.
Great shaker.
No, it's Run Away With Me.
Oh, so good.
I just think there's something about that moment that I would love to be in my life that I'm saying that to someone. So I think that's why I like to sing that song.
It's a good song, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting weird now that you bring the shower into it, but I mean.
You brought the shower into it, Brad.
Well, you have already deleted one musical.
What was that? I can't remember.
Don't look at me. I wasn't here.
Was it Cats?
It was probably Cats.
No, I don't think I don't hate too much on Cats.
Ooh.
No, it was title of show last time because my musical Becoming Bill, which is playing at the Powerhouse in August 2019 if you're in Brisbane, is that...
You can say that louder and slower with a booking link
later. Oh, really?
Yeah, later, not now.
Yeah, subliminal plug.
Get a pen ready.
It's about me writing a show. So I was asked to write a show in 2010, and that is the basis for my musical.
Right.
And title of show obviously being... So that's why I deleted title of show, because it's a similar subject.
Because then it
subject.
Doesn't exist, right. And then we're okay.
Exactly.
So if you have to delete another musical from musical theatre history, what are you going to can?
Well, I do have this idea for a show where... Now, hear me out, because this is pretty crazy, but I like... Everyone dresses up in fur and pretends to be cats. So I'm going to delete cats. No, I don't know. I don't know.
It's already gone. It's been deleted officially from history.
Yeah. Martin Gere.
Oh, great. Yeah, good choice.
Because no one really loves it a lot.
No one understands it.
Yeah.
Including myself.
Yeah.
Mostly myself.
Yeah. I think I have some score to that at home, and I've just understood that that's how that's said.
That's yeah,
Martin. Yeah. Yeah.
I just know it from Forbidden Broadway, but then we wouldn't get those jokes.
True,
would we?
True.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
That is true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've got a fair grasp on who you are now, Brad.
Yeah, I think you know me pretty well.
Let's take a little teeny weeny break, and we'll talk about the history of we haven't even actually said.
Well, you know what? They've clicked it on the thing.
It's going to be a surprise.
Yeah, because you haven't read the title of this show. I'm going to leave it as a surprise. We'll talk about it in history.
They're not going to look down at any moment to see what the title is.
Tricked you. Made you look. Okay, we made you look. We're chatting about Bright Star, guys. Brad.
That silence was on purpose.
Could you? Tell us a little bit about the history.
Yes, I absolutely can.
Clickety, clickety, click.
Yeah, so it was written by Steve Martin and Eddie, and I can never pronounce her name. It's Brickle, right, Miranda?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, Eddie Brickle. They wrote. They worked like together on.
I'm the font of all knowledge when it comes to the pronunciation of words.
And
pronunciation.
Yeah, I said pronunciation ironically.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on purpose.
I just checked you.
I know that's not how it says. And pacifically is not the word either.
Wow. I didn't notice that.
But they laughed at home. So
yeah.
Because well, they got it.
Anyway, back to Steve Martin and old mate.
Yeah, Eddie Brunkle. Eddie Brickle. They worked on a record together called Love Has Come to You. It was a bluegrass record. And from that, their association evolved
Steve
into this.
Steve plays the banjo.
Yeah. As in like Steve Martin?
Steve Martin plays
yeah,
the banjo.
Yeah, so Steve Martin
Roxanne,
had a whole bunch of had a whole bunch of records before
like
with
Steve
the,
Martin. With yeah. the like Father of the Bride.
Yeah.
Like Steve Martin. Yeah, now I'm with it. I'm back. I understand.
You guys do know we're talking about Bright Star today, right?
Oh, yeah. Bright Star. Right. Okay. I've got to do
cats.
My research.
No, do you mean Father of the Bride 2, Steve Martin?
No. Father of the Bride 1.
Could you not think of another movie with Steve Martin apart from
I'm Father doing his greatest hits.
The Pink Panther.
Bowfinger.
Oh.
Oh.
Roxanne,
anyway,
you said.
We
Roxanne.
Are very getting off topic.
Sergeant Bilko.
Do
you remember the jerk when Bernadette Peters was in it and they sung All I've Got Is If You Knew My Story in my head from Bright Star, but anyway, there's a scene of them on the beach where they fall in love and he's playing a little ukulele song. Aww. And they sing together. If you don't know it, look it up. It's so beautiful.
I will look it up. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah. Thank
more.
You for having me. Good night. So the story that I found on an interview, how they sort of came up with the idea, they were working on a whole bunch of songs and then the idea for the show came about when I'm going to say Steve, even though he's not my friend, but Steve would send Eddie like banjo licks via phone or whatever and then she would compose because she'd write all the lyrics because he'd written some lyrics actually for some of his bluegrass records but not for this because she was writing the book as well. And so she... The story goes that she would listen to the lick and she said it sounded like a train. So she would go, woo, woo, and she would sing sort of along, woo, woo. And then she thought, okay, well, I'll research some trains. And she found this story of why are you picking my nose?
No. Bug on your mic.
There's a bug on my microphone.
Your mouth. This is fun.
Well, great, we're just going to leave it there. Can you hear that, Mr. Zane?
Can you hear the bug crawling on the microphone?
It's still there.
It's a love bug.
No, it doesn't want to leave you, Brad.
Anyway,
it doesn't want to leave you.
He's gone. So she.
No, it's not. It's on my person. It is on my person. There is a little buggy thing.
I think it's
on my.
It's okay. It's gone.
I think it's gone.
Out, right?
He's like, this is the best part of the episode so far.
No.
And so what happened was she Googled this idea of trains and all sorts of things, and there's a bit more to the story you can find online, but she found this case of the Iron Mountain train. It was a story. Now, if you don't know the show really well, spoilers. Okay.
Guys, you should know this already.
It's just such a beautiful story, and it's got a cool surprise ending, which I probably shouldn't say because now you're going to guess it. But the story was that a baby was thrown out of a train in 1904, and it survived, and then the baby lived and was raised in this community, and that was the story of the Iron Mountain Train. And she found that story, and she was like, oh, this would be a great thing for a song. And if you know the show, that's what developed into the story of Bright Star, which that's kind of the reveal.
I do quite like imagining. I've kind of ruined
it if you don't know it.
Nah. I do like imagining that Google search though. Like,
yeah.
Trains. Mm. Yeah, not
she said
there.
It was the first one that came up.
Interesting things about trains.
Yeah.
Google.
Interesting thing.
Stories I can steal about stuff that happened on trains. Google.
Starlight Express. Why does that keep coming up?
People try. Ah, damn it.
So it was workshopped New York Stage and Film at the Powerhouse Theatre at Vassar College. A lot of really great shows have come out of Vassar. Does anyone know any off the top of their head?
Not off the top of my head.
Look, I didn't prepare for this.
So there's actually two. I think the season just gone is Jason Robert Brown is working on a new one, The Connector, which looks really interesting.
Is it about Connector pens?
No, it's about the game Connect 4.
Okay.
And
all right, I'll take it.
No. it's I don't know what it's about, a reporter or something like that. And then the other one is, I can never pronounce his name, Duncan Sheik, that wrote Spring Awakening, to that. His new one, I don't know what it's called. I can't remember. Anyway, but then
that
so
one.
It was
Sleepy Springtime.
Sleepy Springtime, that's it. The story of
Sleepy
Other People.
Springtime. In winter. Yeah. So it was developed further then at the Kennedy Center and it opened it on Broadway in 2016. And then it only ran for 30 previews and then 109 regular performances.
Oh.
So it didn't have a huge
run. But it gave it a good
run.
Shot.
Yeah. Well, I think it's one of those shows like being a bluegrass show. It's unique.
They don't like you saying that.
Why?
That I came up in some of my research about the music. They don't like people calling it a bluegrass musical.
That's interesting.
Because
because of the connotations publicly about that?
Exactly. Yeah. That's like people don't come and see it if you call it a bluegrass musical.
There are things about that to talk about in different sections of the show, like in that it does have a sound that's kind of very samey at times. Like that's the one thing about the show that's hard to get into, I think, at times. It's you go, this sounds a lot like the last one, because that's just the nature of bluegrass music. But the story, So another thing is there was a reunion concert in 2016 at Town Hall in New York City, and Steve and Eddie, they hosted it, and it was a concert sort of style thing where they all sort of walked up and sung at these microphones. It was the original cast, I think. And I saw it. It was live streamed.
Oh, cool.
And that was how I found the show because, you know, following Steve Martin or whatever. And it was so beautiful. I was there at the cafe, you know, downing coffees and crying, you know, because it's a beautiful story. But I think it's like Blood Brothers. I think if you know the show and you see it, it moves you and you can remember the songs. But if you go to the songs first, you go, why is this a thing?
Yeah.
Because Blood Brothers is kind of, you know, hard to get into musically speaking.
There's a few like that.
Mm.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
I'm subjected to them a lot.
All right.
Regular occasions.
Yeah.
From guests selecting them.
Yeah.
It's research, Julie.
I usually get through a few
bars.
Few songs. Before I give up.
It won some awards. Do you want to know about them?
Yes. Yeah.
Won the Grammy.
A Grammy?
A Grammy.
The original Broadway cast album.
Hey. Love Affair.
Won a Grammy.
What?
That's a big deal.
Hold like best bluegrass album. I don't know.
I mean, no. It was just best album and they got up and they accepted it.
We refuse to be called bluegrass. No, I'm sorry.
What other award?
What was it? The 2016 Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Music, open brackets, bluegrass, close brackets. the Outer Critics Circle Award for Best Musical and Best Score. And
There you go. The awards liked the bluegrass. Yeah.
And it got, five Tony nominations that year? Score,
awesome.
Book,
impressive.
Musical, Best Lead Actress, Best Orchestrations. The orchestrations are incredible, but the whole look. I just think it's a great show, and it's not well known and it's not well loved. So that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I think the last time I was here, I talked about Floyd Collins, and it's another show that you have to spend time with to love, but I think they're ones that you can enjoy in another way as opposed to just the big bangers and showstoppers that we sort of go to when we're at the gym or we're, you know, driving to the beach. You know, it's just it's a good slow burn.
I get it.
It's a good slow burn.
Bluegrass is a nice way to drive to the beach.
It really is. Yeah. You know, your cousins in the back and your wife's in the back and they're both the same person. No, I'm joking.
Bodies in the boo.
Oh, that's a bit much now.
Easy.
All right, anything more to tell us on the history?
I think that's all I've got.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's find out a little bit about this baby and this train situation. Okay, KB, give us the plot.
All right. I'm actually going to read the plot, which I don't usually do. I usually summarize the plot, but I didn't want to miss anything out of this one.
No, throw those stones.
I know.
It's very complicated. It's very complicated.
Yeah, and I didn't want to miss anything out. So I was I'm trying to like not ruin this show for everyone. Okay. So there is a
begins.
Begins.
1946. It's really natural.
It's really natural. I thought I'd talk in, what is it, the Microsoft robot voice for the rest of the
Siri,
day.
Siri, could you read my...
Okay, Google, read plot.
You should do that.
I was just checking that we didn't activate a Google Home somewhere.
Alexa, there's so many now, so many robots in your homes.
They are
anyway,
so good.
I digress.
I love robots.
The plot of Bright Star. There is a small note that this is the plot for the original Broadway production. And there have been small changes made to the national tour, just with like characters not singing certain songs and that kind of jazz. So yeah, just needed to pre-warn. All right, Act One. In 1946, editor Alice Murphy greets the audience and tells them that instead of overseeing other people's stories, she is going to tell her own. 1 year earlier, in the town of Hayes Creek, serviceman and aspiring writer Billy Crane returns home after serving in World War II. He reunites with his father and his childhood friend Margot before learning that his mother has died. Several weeks later, Billy visits Margot and tells her he is going to submit his stories to the Asheville Southern Journal. Upon arriving at the offices of the journal, he finds himself rebuffed by employees Daryl and Lucy. However, Alice finds herself charmed by a brazen lie that Billy tells and considers accepting his stories. She later declines Lucy's invitation to a dance, but privately reflects on a time when she would have gone to a dance. Flashing back to 1923. I know. 23 years later. A 16-year-old Alice flirts with Jimmy Ray Dobbs.
What?
Jimmy Ray Dobbs. That's a fun name.
Jimmy Ray.
Look, in my head, I'm just doing voices for all these characters.
What does Jimmy sound like, bro?
Oh, hello, I'm Jimmy.
I'm Jimmy.
So, where's
would you like to go to a dance?
It's not just Jimmy. It's Jimmy Ray.
It's Jimmy Ray.
I'm moving away from the bluegrass thing, though.
Oh, I'm Jimmy.
He's now a chimney sweep.
Is he? And what about Alice?
Don't hate it.
What about Alice?
What does Alice sound like?
Oh, hello, my name is Alice.
I'm a Muppet.
She's Southern.
She's Southern.
I'm Alice.
And she can only say her name like that.
That's it.
She can't say the others.
Alice.
Or Asylum.
Where are you from?
I might probably say the later.
Good. I'm excited to see who everyone else sounds like. Sorry, guys, sorry. Flashing back
She's
to 1923. A 16-year-old Alice,
I'm Alice.
Flirts with Jimmy Ray Dobbs.
I'm Jimmy.
In her hometown of
too much.
Zebulon, North Carolina.
Zebulon. Sounds like a
like
planet.
The producing company that does The Good Place and...
Fremulon,
yeah. That's what I like. That's what I sound. There we go. Thanks, guys. I like that this plot has sound effects. This is
fun. It could be a long plot.
Did anyone do a train?
We're not up to the train yet,
guys. Oh, my bad. Sorry, spoilers.
All right, so we're in North Carolina. When Alice returns home later that night, her parents reprimand her while pondering her unfortunate future.
Reprimand.
Meanwhile, Jimmy Ray returns home only to be lectured by his father, Mayor Josiah Dobbs, on what the future holds for him. Back to 1945, upon receiving encouragement from Alice in the form of a $10 check.
Whoa!
Billy decides to settle down Billy decides to settle down in Asheville and dedicate his time to writing. Margot reflects that she had other hopes for her future with Billy, but she decides to put her hopes aside and be supportive of his dreams. In 1923, we're back. Alice and Jimmy Ray make their way to the riverbank and make love.
Oh. Okay, apparently I'm just really uncomfortable with anything vanilla.
They make love, Julie. Mm-mm. Make love. Ugh. Sometime
it's pivotal
later.
To the plot.
And then how do you like make? Anyway,
that's a discussion for later. Sometime later, Alice goes to see the town physician after feeling ill, only to learn she is pregnant. Josiah arranges for Alice to stay in a remote cabin for the duration of her pregnancy. She divides her time in isolation by knitting a sweater for the baby. Are you all right, Julie?
Yes.
Don't know if that's probably the funniest part of the plot there, Julie. I mean, I usually don't think of someone knitting while they're waiting for a baby to come in an isolated cabin to be funny, but I guess it's each to their own.
In my head, I'm just hearing her physician being like, best thing for pregnancy. Isolated cabin. But I don't approve of the knitting needles.
Keep the needles away from the baby. She just divides her time in isolation by knitting a sweater for the baby and talking about their child with Jimmy Ray when he visits.
Jimmy Ray.
Shortly after giving birth to a baby son, Alice and her parents learn that Josiah, there's a baby in the room now, guys, has secretly put the child up for adoption.
What?
I know. It was kind of the dumb thing in 1923 with a baby out of. Yeah. Josiah departs with the baby and boards the train to Hayes Creek before throwing the, what is that word? Valise?
It's the thing that's holding the baby. Yeah, it's like a basket.
Why don't I just say basket? Before throwing the basket into the river when no one is looking. He threw a baby off a train.
And
is he getting adopted anyway?
No.
Yeah, it's because, well, he was, what I took from a, was that he was hiding. He was trying to save the family from the shame.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws it off the train.
He throws a baby off the train and
adding
that's how Act 1 ends, guys.
Shame.
Yeah, but
and
nobody knows about the baby because Alice
do.
Was in isolation in the cabin.
She's been knitting.
Well, she had to finish the sweater, didn't she?
Yeah, what's the sweater for now?
Oh. Yeah, well.
What a waste of a sweater.
Guys, that's a pretty full-on Act 1. And now I'm going to tell you, it's a lot of heavy stuff. Now I'm going to tell you what happens in Act 2. Woo! I know. It gets better.
Gets lighter, I should say. Not better. Like,
that thing with the doctor's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
We're still in 1924,
guys. Time travel yet.
No time travel. Alice prepares to attend college in Chapel Hill and privately yearns to find her son.
I'm Alice.
Meanwhile, in 1945, Margot talks with her friends about how she misses Billy. Back in 1924, Jimmy Ray tells an ailing Josiah that he is going to meet Alice in Chapel Hill. When Josiah confesses what happened to the baby, Jimmy Ray decides to stay with his father after realizing he can't possibly tell Alice the truth.
So did you get all that?
So
you're lying.
Recount.
Retell us what's the start of Act 2.
It starts in 1924.
No, not the top of the show. No, I'm joking.
And then it goes to 1945 and then it goes back to 1924.
Okay, so apart from the time travel, what happens in there?
I was listening.
A lot of stuff happens, guys. But right now,
Alice wants to find her baby, and then the other guy says, "But I threw it off a train."
Alice doesn't know yet. The father has found out from his father, and he's found out what the dad's done, and he's like, "You're an animal," and he's like, "You've broken up. I can never tell Alice, so we'll never." So they're still young. It's just happened, and he's come back from the train. He's like, "Well, that baby ain't here no more." And then
Josiah.
And that's Josiah. And he's like, "What have you done, Dad?" And it's an amazing song, Heartbreaker. But
it's so sad. But after that song, we jump back into 1946. Daryl and Lucy, who you might remember from the newspaper place. What are they called?
Oh. Great friends.
Yeah? No. Daryl and Lucy come back and encounter a creatively frustrated Billy while sharing an after-work drink and try to cheer him up. The next day, Alice tells Billy that one of his stories is set to be published in the journal.
Because we're back and Alice is writing in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's This is why I had to read it, guys. It's a lot. He confesses that he has been writing about Hayes Creek before inviting her to see where his stories take place. She agrees to do so after a planned visit to Ray Lee to complete some unfinished business.
Dun, 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 dun.
We're no longer traveling back in time, guys. We're going to stay in 1946. I know. Sorry, Jules. I should have told you it was the last one. In Ray Lee, Alice requests permission to look through adoption papers drafted during the period when her son would have been registered. After failing to find what she is looking for, Alice encounters Jimmy Ray and learns about Josiah's actions. Back in Hayes Creek, Billy so tells Margo.
She knows. Because she's been trying to look for the baby, and he's like, I got to tell you because, you know.
You may as well stop
looking.
In Hayes Creek, Billy tells Margo that he's moving back home before realizing that she's the girl for him. In Zebulon, Alice reconciles with her father after he apologizes for allowing Josiah to take the baby away from her. Not wanting to continue his distress any longer, she tells him the child was adopted by a good family and is living a successful life.
Psych! I didn't throw the baby off a train.
What?
Or maybe he did, but the baby's alive.
I definitely placed the baby on the train.
She makes her way to Hayes Creek and sees Billy's childhood home, where she discovers the baby sweater she sent with her son, discovering that she is Billy's birth mother. A few weeks later, everyone involved assembles in Asheville and gets a happy ending.
What?
Wow.
That is a spoiler, guys. Sorry, should have rewarned you that the twist was coming. But that's the end of the show.
Wow.
It's really nice.
There's a lot to like pack and unpack in that show. Yeah, and then some time travel.
I'd even seen it and I was so like, when I went back to prepare, I was reading through this and I was like, what? What do you mean? And I have literally seen this.
Yeah.
And I've listened to the cast recording. I was like, what do you mean? You almost have to envision the past and the present to like unpack it, right?
Yeah. Ooh, I have some issues with time travel, so it's a hard one for
me. It's like a philosophical issue, is it?
Yeah.
But it's not time travel as in like people actually traveling through time.
No, it's time jumps.
Did you not hear our sound effects? Like, did that not clarify?
Did come out of my mouth, so yeah.
It was like flashbacks, Julia. It's not time travel.
All right. Okay, well, while I deal with this and my issues with time travel and flashbacks, let's take a break.
Okay.
And pop on over to songs.
All right.
So we know they don't like you calling this a bluegrass musical.
You're going to censor that out, aren't you, from the podcast? So whenever you say bluegrass, just be beep, beep. Beep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let me tell you a little bit about why they don't like you calling it a bluegrass musical. So Steve Martin says we have some.
Oh, so is that Steve Martin from Fathered by One or Two?
I think he did both.
He did both,
no,
right.
He did them both, I'm sure.
And then I'm pretty sure he's in two.
Yeah, right.
Is there a Father of the Bride 3?
Tentative, yeah.
I think that's a no. I'm gonna say no.
I'm gonna say no.
And what are we?
We're covering the really important stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. Father of the Bride, the musical.
Anyway, bluegrass music.
Would watch. By the way, he says we have some bluegrass instrumentation, but it spans a lot of different genres.
I mean, okay, people Steve. Think if you say bluegrass, of course you think it's just gonna be.
Banjos.
Which it is, but it's more than that.
Yeah. He said, if someone said to me, want to go to a bluegrass musical, I'd say, no thanks. So he like acknowledges exactly what we said before. Mm. If you tell people it's a bluegrass musical, they're not going to go. Instruments used.
Mm-hmm.
Banjo.
What?
Shocker.
Okay.
Surprise.
It's a surprise.
Auto harp. Mm. And the mandolin. Just to throw a few at you.
Is a mandolin usually in bluegrass, Brett?
Yeah.
Huh. Mm. So there, I learned something today. Musicals teach me all these things.
Miss Eddie says that she's frustrated they've been put into a thimble genre. And
a thimble genre.
Well, yeah.
It's small. Like a thimble.
Like a little thimble. But she says that, like, vocally, it's akin to jazz and gospel and soul. And I say, okay. You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Bluegrass.
I mean, it is true because when you think about it, if you think about like Memphis which you guys know. I know you just said you don't know, but it's really, really like rhythm and blues music because it's set in that time. It's set in, you know, 1950s, 60s America and in this, in these bars where, you know, the band is playing this, this driving hot kind of music that was just, you know, really guttural or whatever. But you don't go, oh, that's a kind of rhythm and blues musical. You say that's Memphis.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting that there is something about country music. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Sorry, no, no, no. But producer Joey Parnes, I don't know. We're not good with the names here.
He was from Princess. He was from Number Two.
Oh, from the second
Father
one.
Of the Bride, yeah.
There was only two, by the way.
He was actually the producer for A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder as well.
Oh, cool.
He said it's not bluegrass, but it has elements of that. It's not country, but there's a couple of twangy moments. It's sort of Americana, but no one knows what Americana connotates. Mm. So there's some songs that are full-out Broadway ballad style, again, questionable, but overall the score has a sound unto itself.
Yeah.
So they're kind of being, but again, you can't advertise a musical and say, come listen to this.
All-rounder,
nondescript, but definitely not bluegrass musical.
But maybe a little bit bluegrass.
But maybe a little bit.
Shades of bluegrass.
Yes, shades of rather bluegrass. But let's have a look at the songs in it. And I think it starts off with a subtle banger.
Yeah.
A subtle
Seconded.
Banger.
A subtle banger. If you knew my story, which is Alice in the Ensemble, would consider adding it to a repertoire.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if I can sing it. Gonna try anyway.
Why not?
Yeah. Then She's Gone, Daddy Kane and Billy. Feel free to jump in here with like plot points because I've not seen it.
There's a lot of plot points. I don't know if we can really drop in on each of them.
Great.
We're gonna need our time travel sounds again.
Can do it at any time. Bright, the titular.
Someone had to do it.
Well, Zane's not here, so we have to. The titular Bright Star with Billy and Ensemble. Way back in the day, Alice and Ensemble. Whoa, mama. Which is probably not how that goes.
Whoa, mama.
Jimmy, Alice and Ensemble. Firmer Hand / Do Right.
The / is not in the title.
Oh, okay. Which is Daddy Murphy, Mama Murphy, Alice and Ensemble. A Man's Gotta Do, Mayor Dobbs and Jimmy. I like the name Mayor Dobbs. Wait. I feel like it's a Dr. Seuss name. Mayor Dobbs. Nope.
Could be.
Making it up. Anyway, Asheville, Margot and Ensemble. What could
Asheville is, if you haven't heard it, that's probably the second, like that'd be of the top five if you wanted to say someone, listen to these songs and you'll listen to the whole record. That is how I found it. It is an incredible, incredible song.
Banger.
Yeah.
Subtle banger or banger banger?
Well, it's probably technically like in the, we're using like the classic Oxford banger vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd say it's probably a subtle banger.
I don't think there's many like bangers.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
I think they're all a subtle banger.
It's a slow
banger.
Burn. It's just a beautiful melody. And Hannah
Everyone
Ellis
needs
is just
to stop
incredible.
Saying banger.
is that,
well, what could be better? Sung by Jimmy Alice and Ensemble. I Can't Wait, Alice, Jimmy and Ensemble. The Ensemble's got a fair bit to do.
Mm.
Almost every song in this, the Ensemble sings in it. Yes, good Ensemble work. Please Don't Take Him, Mayor Dobbs, Alice, Daddy Murphy, Mama Murphy, Stanford Adams and Ensemble. And A Man's Gotta Do, Reprise.
What?
A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Kind of goes like that.
Good. That's your act one in a nice little bundle.
Yeah.
Pop on over to act two, and you've got one of Miranda's favorite things.
A reprise.
No.
A mega mix.
No.
An on-track.
A song for Chris.
An on-track.
An Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep. Doubling down on Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep singing a mega mix.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. You've got an orchestral on track.
Oh, very nice.
Followed by Sun's Gotta Shine, Alice, Mama Murphy, Margot, Daddy Kane, Edna, Florence, and
that's the anthem of
ensemble.
That's the anthem of the show. Mm-hmm. Definitely give that one a listen if you don't know the show.
I'll give it a listen.
Yeah, it's
Heartbreaker, Jimmy. Another Round, Lucy, Daryl, Billy, and Ensemble. I had a
Before
go.
You go, on,
go, go,
Heartbreaker
go.
Is probably the most classic true musical theatre song on the record. And it's one of those great, we all have a good fight song, right? We all have a song where like there's a reason for the singing. It's not just kind of like we're buying into this weird world where we're singing our feelings. He's like, it's definitely, I'm putting it in top five lists already, but I've got a top five list for later.
All right.
It's come to me naturally too, which is the best way.
Good, good, good. What was that song even? I forgot.
Heartbreaker.
Thank you. Another round. Lucy, Daryl, Billy and Ensemble. I had a vision.
Did you?
Of what? I don't know, but Alice and Jimmy sing it.
That's about her, if you're wondering, it's about her thinking about her son and or her bubby. We don't know if it's a son or who it is, but she's envisioning it back because she's sure that he's alive somewhere living with a family and she's going to find him. So it's kind of
like she had a son, right?
Well, she must because she was in the
she was
knitting the male sweater, not a female sweater. It had a
buttons
big
were on
the
other side, were they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Always Will, Billy Margot and Ensemble. Can't Wait, Reprise.
Mm.
Ensemble, so familiar. Alison Ensemble, At Long Last. Guess what? Alison Ensemble. And the finale, which is just Ensemble. Oh, guys.
This is a lot of Ensemble work.
I'm going to just say this is a great show to be the Ensemble in because you're in
everything
apart from maybe like five. Like good times, good times. Anything else musically you want to add?
No, I think I kind of covered it as we sort of went. It's a really, I mean, for any writers that are listening, I think it's, and orchestrators, it's a really great show to listen to as I put on my work voice. Like it's a great show to look at this thing that we always talk about. So disclaimer, I'm a writer. And it's one of these things we look at for natural ways to build the world of the show. And it's one of these, it does it really well, I feel, and kind of sets the story in a musical place. And it kind of, bluegrass, it sets it in a time and a story and all that sort of stuff. So it's a really good case study to look at that. And you can see stuff about the puzzle, the way that that goes together by picking it apart because it's so obvious. It's bluegrass and it tells that story as opposed to something like Les Mis where it's a textual thing and it's kind of, very dramatic, which, that's a very different kind of thing. So that's a really cool insight, I think, that's really interesting.
Orchestrator. His name, which I cannot pronounce shortly, is Eric Smoen.
Eric, and he was from the first Brother of the Bride?
I think he was the baby in that.
He was the baby,
I don't remember him from that one.
Don't you?
No.
So he said that they've confronted some unusual challenges when writing the music. So he was thinking, like, how do we use a drum to make the sound of someone slapping their thighs?
Yeah.
And how do I get something that sounds like someone stomping on the back of a porch with a boot? So this kind of led to some unexpected answers.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the musical's drummer never uses sticks.
Well, because bluegrass is and like naturally doesn't have drums.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's all without amplification is the pure bluegrass music.
Yeah. So instead he's got a collection of spoons.
Cool. Spoons. I thought you were going to say like brushes
Flicks
or something.
And yeah. brushes. as well as a root, which is fun. He describes like everything that he's got in his little kit as just being his little bundle of sticks, bundle of twigs.
Yeah.
They also did some weird things with like the microphone placement to add effect to the sound.
Cool.
A lot to do with really that percussionist's kit. So they changed a lot of things on that to make it more authentic and more human-like, which is kind of fun, cool. The things you have to do to get something to sound the way you want it to sound.
These musicals are tough to make, aren't they?
They are.
They're really quite
so
clever.
So glad I've never had to make one.
It's unusual.
Sounds painful. All right, well, let's have a look and see who did this thing. Cast. Who's on it? Who's doing it?
Well, this is the fun part of the show where I get to pronounce people's names.
Yeah,
that is the best part of the show.
And just so really famous people too.
And am I still doing their voices or is that finished from...
Please do their voices.
This could get us.
Sorry, I was hoping. Never mind.
We've lost five subscribers during this episode, Brad.
Oh, wow.
We don't know.
I didn't didn't know we could track in real time.
In real time.
Especially since this episode hasn't come out yet. That's amazing.
Should I not be live?
Yeah, talk about time travel. Whoa. So there's a couple of casts listed before the original Broadway cast. These are the previews, out of town openings. You know, we don't really consider them to be real. But Carmen Cusack, who played Alice Murphy, went right through from the beginning through to original Broadway cast and stayed in the touring cast, as did Stephen Lee Anderson, who played Daddy Murphy. Everyone else mostly did just the Kennedy Center previews and then the original Broadway cast. Oh, sorry. AJ Shively also did the full start to finish, playing Billy Kane. So the original Broadway cast, or let's talk quickly about Carmen Cusack first. She is best known for playing Elphaba in Chicago. Woo!
Elphaba's in Chicago.
North American tour and the Melbourne production.
Come on, babe, why don't you green the town?
Of Wicked in Chicago, town, not Elphaba just jumped ship for a little while and went into jail.
But she was Australia's first Elphaba, Melbourne, right?
I went to Melbourne.
Wasn't it Amanda Harris?
I'm still trying to envision at the start? Billy Flynn Green. So I'm a bit lost.
Oh, yeah. So confusing. Of course, she originated the role of Alice Murphy in a musical which you may or may not have heard of called Bright Star.
Yes, I have heard of that.
Her performance was highly praised and earned her the Tony Award nomination, but unfortunately she did not win. That was her Broadway debut. Yeah. She had her breakthrough in England playing Christine Daae in Phantom.
I think you'll find she wasn't in Phantom. She was in that character's in
Love Never Dies.
Father of the Bride 2.
It's in Father of the Bride.
The original one. And soon after made her West End debut as Fontaine in Les Mis. So she's done some of the classics, you know.
And like all over the world.
Yeah. She was standby for Elphaba for a long time and then
this
got
is still
asked,
common.
Yeah, this is still her. She was asked to take on the lead role for the national tour and was next seen in the Melbourne production in Australia. Oh, there we go. A 1 month stint as a temporary standby when Amanda Harrison had taken a break. There you go.
A temporary standby. Not even the role.
Well, the standby was Gemma Ricks, who was given the role.
Oh, of course.
And then she was the temporary standby.
Wow, are you even getting paid if you're here and doing the temporary standby?
Just fly out, temporary standby. Hang out in Melbourne. That's great. She's appeared in the new musical of First Wives Club.
Cool.
Oh, wait, what?
Did you not know?
No.
You would love
it.
We
need to start doing Broadway news again.
Yeah. Just to fill me in.
So, yeah, she's still getting about, you know, as people do, I suppose. Original Broadway cast, Mayor Josiah Dobbs. It was played by Michael Mulheron, who's a TV dude, but has done, what was it? The Boy from Oz with Hugh Jackman playing Hugh's dad, or Peter's dad in the case.
George. Oh, mate, George. Dad.
Yeah, yeah. Has also played one of your roles, Julie, the gangster in Kiss Me, Kate. I thought you'd be interested to know
probably
that.
Probably not my role, though. Dad, it was man two, probably man one.
He has had some epic failures, though. He's also been in Titanic and Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Oh, no.
So maybe that's what brought down Bright Star.
I wouldn't be letting him touch my show.
We'll see. I'm sorry, Michael. I'm sure it wasn't your fault. Paul Alexander Nolan got the Drama Desk nomination for playing Jimmy Ray.
Jimmy Ray.
Margot Crawford, played by Hannah Ellis. She went right from the early stages through to original Broadway cast. Daddy Kane, Stephen Bogardus. He does have a click link, but it's not very interesting.
The click link's not very interesting.
We probably should mention as well, Paul Alexander Nolan was in Daddy Long Legs. Do you guys know Daddy Long Legs? And I'm pretty sure.
Is that a Stephen Martin film? I don't know.
No, yeah, it is. Sorry, yeah.
Is that the one with the epic spit?
That's, yes.
No.
Yes.
That's a different Daddy movie, is it?
Oh, you're thinking of Daddy Daycare or something like that.
No.
This is a musical. This is
okay.
Yeah.
No, different.
No, I wasn't doing a joke. I know it's weird when I say a normal person
a
thing.
A normal person thing. Yeah.
And I think he was also in just recently the one about Jimmy, I want to say Jimmy Cliff. Is that right? But
the guy who played
Escape
Jimmy
from Margaritaville. Paul Anderson, Nolan was in both of those shows.
So he just likes kind to play characters named Jimmy.
Yes, I believe that's in his contract.
Yeah. Just change the name to Jimmy. Yep. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played Jimmy in Wicked, singing Dancing Through the Night.
Everything's great. Mama Murphy, played by Dee Hoti. Hoti? She's a real hottie? I don't know. H-O-T-Y, how would you say it?
Hoity.
Hoody. Dee Hoody.
The H is silent and it's pronounced Otty.
She has been nominated for the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical 3 times in 1991 for the Will Rogers Follies, The Best Little Whorehouse Goes Public, that great show we all know and love from 1994, and Footloose in 1999. Unfortunately, was not nominated for this one, but that's sad. There's a character listed here, Dora Murphy, for the Old Globe San Diego cast, and then just does not appear in the rest of the shows. Obviously, cut.
Yeah, right.
That in a preview.
Lucy Grant was played by Emily Padgett, and Daryl Amos, Jeff
Goldblum? Blumenkrantz.
Why does this?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Jeff Goldblum.
And I'm pretty sure you'll find that.
Blumenkrantz.
You'll see, I was actually literally just searching it before, trying to.
Jeff.
That's right, we can riff on Jeff Goldblum for a while.
But the touring cast had a few replacements.
Yes. Wait, we have to mention Hannah. Him. Did you mention Hannah Ellis?
Yeah.
Hannah Ellis, yeah.
You mentioned
her. Ages ago.
She did, but she didn't talk about Hannah Ellis.
Right, that's cool. I just thought we missed it and.
Would you like to talk about Hannah Ellis?
She's just literally incredible.
Literally. You heard it here first, guys.
Or maybe that's what I think, you heard Hannah. It before. That's what I think.
Come on, Jeff's incredible. IMDb profile.
Carmen Cusack playing Alice Murphy, just to pop back for a second, did win the Theatre World Award for Outstanding Debut Performance for this role. That's about all I have to say about that.
Wow.
That's all I got to say about
So we're still
that.
Waiting for the International
Jeff
World Tour.
News.
They're still looking up Jeffs of the
we
World.
We got him.
I don't know if you mentioned it before, but Martin actually occasionally performed with the show on Broadway. Doing what? I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, he turned up. Playing? I was going to mention this later if we got time or anything, but the show, when it was really struggling to sell, they would...
Stick Steve in there.
And he would turn up. And so the idea was that people would then want to come because you never knew if you would see Steve Martin. And so he would play, I think, in between. He'd start the second act and he'd play with
the
band for the, yeah.
Well, that's pretty fun. That's why there's no overture, but there is an entr'acte.
That's how it goes.
Throw Steve on.
He's like, I won't excite them early, but I will do it come second act.
She plays.
So unlisted, Steve Martin's also in the show and you might recognise him from such films as Father of the Bride and Father of the Bride too. I just feel like there are so many better films with Steve Martin.
No way, they're my faves.
Yeah, maybe.
Father of the Bride is pretty good.
Father of the Bride 2 is even better.
Roxanne's even better.
Never
although
seen it.
That nose never looked real, did it?
Parenthood.
Jeff Blumenkrantz played Simon in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, filmed version.
That's where I
But
would know
he
from.
Was just in The Big Sick. Oh. So if you saw that movie, he was the doctor in that.
All right, well, let's have a think and find out who our dream cast is. Who has thoughts and feelings in regards to who should be in Bright Star?
I just have a question.
Mm-hmm.
How old is the character of Billy?
Mm-hmm.
Billy is an adult.
Like how
so
much
we need
of an
him
adult?
He's of drinking age. So he's in his 20s because he comes to the top. I can't remember what where they work. It's a publishing company. Or what is he? He tries to. He works with Alice. He comes.
Yeah.
And as they meet as adults, and then we go back in time, and we see Alice falling in love with what's his name.
There's like a 20-year age. Okay.
And then at the end, he's the one that goes off to war. He's just come back from war. His mum's dead.
Great.
Then he goes away. Yeah. This is the plot. So if you're needing this again, you need to go back and listen.
All right, thoughts, feelings, thoughts.
So literally anyone in their prime right
now. So Zac Efron could play Billy.
He could play Alice.
He could play Alice?
No, he couldn't. That's ridiculous.
Why?
Why is it ridiculous?
Because we don't want to base it on that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he gets pregnant, okay? That's...
Junior.
We want to stick with the Steve Martin catalogue.
Okay,
well,
okay.
If we're sticking with the Steve Martin catalogue then.
Mm-hmm.
So we're only casting people from Steve Martin films.
Okay, go.
Well, the Bernadette three guys Peters. In Three Amigos were...
So Bernadette Peters is Alice Murphy.
Yeah, that
straight
does.
Up.
Oh,
that
was
going
to be my Alice. Okay, yeah.
Who was going to be your Alice, Julie?
I was thinking like a younger Alice than Bernadette Peters.
But Alice is like, she starts as his parent, so she has to be older than Billy.
But if there's only a 20 year gap. Time travel gap, would she only be like in her late 30s, early 40s?
Yeah, true point. Bernadette Peters.
What? So she's playing 40, but she's actually 30. Is that what you mean?
I don't know.
Because she starts. She's okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Spoilers.
Okay.
Turn this off. You don't want me to say it really clearly. Alice is Billy's mum.
Yeah,
shocker.
And so he comes and works for the shop.
How old is she when she has the baby, though?
Well, they're young enough for her to be in the woods
by herself.
Well, by herself, hidden away from the world. That's so she's young, and they're very. They're going to the school dance or something. They're going to the dance, the local dance. So they're young, you know.
So between 1923 and 1946,
she's aged 50 years. That's correct.
She's aged 50 years.
I'm not solid on time travel. I think that's correct.
Wow,
you guys heard it here first. Tesla, watch out.
He might be here and hear you.
He might be listening to this episode.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry, Mr. Tesla. Love you.
So Alice is 20 years older than Billy. Let's just say that.
Okay. What about, hear me out, Kimberly Williams Paisley?
Is she the chick who played the daughter and father of the bride?
She most certainly would be.
Then I think she'd be perfect for it.
She's really sweet. I like
her. Maybe Billy could be Kieran Culkin.
Perfect.
He's actually a really great actor. So,
and I think Mayor, the dad of, hang on. No, Billy is not. I think Jimmy. Oh my God. I got it wrong. What? Jimmy is her son and Billy is the guy
Jimmy's
that she.
Jimmy's the baby. No, Jim. What?
Billy's. Her son is Jimmy. Jimmy Ray Dobbs and Mayor Dobbs. So basically Alice and Billy have to be the same age. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, my bad. So
I'm so confused.
So Alice and Billy make Jimmy.
How?
Okay. And so how old are they?
I want to know who's in the
They are of parenting age and then their son is 20 years younger of wherever they are on the moving scale of life. Mm-hmm. And then Mayor is, we're going to be, that's Martin Short. So.
Yeah.
All
right. Mm-hmm. Where are we putting Daryl Hannah from Roxanne? That's Daryl really important. Hannah.
Anyone that knows your show really as well, about that 5 minutes before, is going to be like, Billy, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's, why are you saying that she's that? That's her mom. No.
Have we done Mama Murphy? Daryl Hannah could play Mama Murphy.
Perfect.
Okay.
But I'm not going to tell you who she is because according to me, it's her son. What about Margot? Margot is the love interest for Jimmy. She sings Asheville, was played by Hannah Ellis.
I mean, Diane Keaton.
Yep, that's perfect.
Too old now.
Oh, wait, we've got the entire cast of Little Shop of Horrors to choose from.
Stop right now. Thank you
Jack
very much.
Jack Nicholson, where's he going?
Or Spice Girls Court.
Which one
I love
Steve
it.
Steve Martin in? The
Jack
musical
Nicholson.
Or the original?
Oh, we've also got Eddie Murphy. He was in Bowfinger. You know what? I'm going to cast.
Kevin Klein.
I'm going
to. Emily Mortimer was in Pink Panther.
We really should have done some research for this.
I'm going to cast Jack Nicholson as the train.
Where does Jack Nicholson come from?
What? Little Shop of Horrors. Wait, who do I mean?
Was C.B. Martin in the original original?
Or Rick Moranis?
Oh, I'm thinking of the original. Yeah, I apologize. I'm thinking of the original.
original.
He's in the dentist chair in the original.
He's the 18-year-old. Guys, Pink Panther had Kristen Chenoweth and Beyonce in it. So where are they going?
Oh, Kristen Chenoweth's inappropriate. We can't put her in a musical.
What? She just has never done it before.
I don't know whether she or Daryl Hannah have a better singing voice. But...
Who's playing the physician? Who says Beyonce? You know what you mean.
Beyonce.
That works.
Does it?
All right. Oh, I believe that. Right. Can we make her son though Eddie Murphy?
Yes.
Yes.
Because then it's like, well, is it really his son?
It's perfect.
Because he turns up, he's like, oh, I'm so your son. Terrible. She's like, what?
What?
This is
I gotta tell you.
Okay, that's it. This is the best casting we've ever done.
I'm pretty sure it's right.
We should always look up Steve Martin movies for casting options.
So let's cap it there.
Yep.
Have a chat about top five.
All right.
Top fives. Give me some. Throw them at me.
Top five.
Bluegrass musicals. Bluegrass musicals that aren't bluegrass.
Well, would it be on it though? Yes. I'm going to go yes.
Top five prodigal son musicals.
Sure.
Top five musicals based on a Google search of the word train.
What else is on that list?
Starline Express.
Probably couldn't have been Google at that time. Must have read a book.
What do you mean at that time?
When Starlight Express was written.
Oh, Starlight Express. I thought you meant Bright Star. And I was like,
we know
gee,
that's
Julie.
What happened. Top five.
Time travel musicals.
It's not time travel.
You said yourself it's not time
top
travel.
Top five flashback no musicals.
Way. No.
What would there that are a be? Lot of those.
Well, there's a lot of flashback musicals.
Like what?
I mean, I can't think of them off the top of my head. But.
Big Fish.
Merrily.
It's all
there's
about
a lot. There's a lot.
Top five with a fight song, like a really legit. I'm gonna say it's in it. Yeah, Heartbreaker's a ripper.
I'll let you have it. Top five Steve Martin musical.
How many of those are there?
I mean, there's at least one. So we can be top of the list
for now. Ooh. Steve Martin, get on to that.
I think that might be it.
I think that might be it.
I got to be honest. I'm pretty sure.
Zane, do you have any?
It's a limited
top five musicals with the same title as a movie, but it's not the movie that it's based on because that's confusing.
Good one.
That's a long title for that top five list.
It's not sorry. Based on a movie, is it?
No, it's not, but there is a movie. There's a movie called Bright Star. And so when I heard of the musical Bright Star, I just assumed it was based on the movie.
And when I completely watched the movie, different. I got to the end and there was no trailer. I'm like, I'm confused. This does not help my research at all.
No, it didn't.
All right. Well, if we've got no more top fives, we can move on.
Plan. Okay.
Great. What lessons have we learned from Bright Star?
There's bluegrass and then there's
not
bluegrass adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Greengrass.
Aqua glass. Grass.
Glass. Would it be don't like be careful on trains? You know,
don't
just
throw
like,
babies off trains.
And just I don't know, maybe. No.
I feel like it worked out better for the baby.
I guess so.
Maybe the lesson we learn is do throw babies off trains.
I'm pretty sure that is not really something that we would advocate.
That's not what happened.
Oh, I learned that if you're pregnant and you're not supposed to be pregnant, maybe just hire a cabin in the woods, do some knitting,
that'll
wait
work.
It out.
Persistence pays off, I guess.
No, that's
she's
lovely.
Pretty determined to find a son/daughter. I don't know if she knew what it was.
And then she accidentally did.
And then so she just accidentally
not,
did.
Really a product of her persistence.
But she went back. I don't know. I'm going to say something nice so that we don't talk about babies being thrown off trains
anymore.
Yeah,
well done.
Okay, good call. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
If I go back to when I watched the town hall one that I said before, which I was crying many times during, I think it is like what you're saying. It's like redemption, you know, just hanging in there and stuff. Like, and if you hang in and then one day you'll find your baby, you know, and that's a good thing.
Really nice. Or maybe just like be upfront. Like if you know that your dad's done something dodgy with your child in terms of throwing him off a train, maybe just tell your partner so that she doesn't spend 23 years searching for someone who maybe possibly doesn't exist.
But who did in the end.
But who did in the end. It's hard. Which, guys, Bright Star's really hard to learn lessons from.
You know what's a good lesson you learned from Bright Star?
What?
If it's not on, it's not on. You learned that from Bright Star.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And.
Never date a guy named Jimmy Ray.
Jimmy Ray.
There's probably some really nice Jimmy Rays out there.
Sorry, Jimmy Ray.
It'd be like Jimmy Ray be listening to this and they'd be like, oh, I really liked your show. Now, you're obviously not, you know, it's not for me.
Sorry, Jimmy. Please tell your friends.
Unsubscribe. Any more lessons?
Yeah. There's an incredible message in this show, even though we're being really silly about it. But it, like, the endurance of the heart. I think that's the thing. Through all these years, she believed that he was alive and that she felt it. You know, the connection between a mother and a child or just of a parent of a child. I think you really feel it. It's palpable in the show when you're watching it. That and two, what everything she's gone through. There's a much nicer way of saying it, but it's what did I learn from that? I learned
empathy.
Yeah.
Endurance.
To hang in there.
Endurance
to hang in there.
Of spirit.
You know, and that you can really, we as people survive a lot of really difficult things. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing about, this show too, is that we all have a story. We all have a tragic part of something that's, you know, defines our life, and that with passion we can overcome that, you know.
Beautiful.
Oh, I knew it was in there somewhere. Then it took 10 minutes. I hope you stuck out for that, Jimmy.
Yeah, endurance.
I'm going to go.
Guys.
I'm going to go get a tissue and we'll be back. Hey, Brad.
Yeah?
What you doing?
I'm just doing a podcast. What are you doing?
A podcast.
Awesome.
What else you got on?
We are, if you're based in Brisbane, there is an original musical of mine called Becoming Bill that is opening at the Brisbane Powerhouse August this year, which is 2019. It's directed by Neil Gooding and it's going to be, it's been 10 years in development. It's been a really, really big process. So definitely come along and see that. If you are anywhere else in the world, head over to Spotify and iTunes and have a listen and let me know what you think. If the Australians... sensibility of the musical rings true to you. Love to hear that. So that's sort of the main thing that's going on.
How do they find you on Spotify/iTunes?
So the show's Becoming Bill, so you can look for that or just my name, Bradley McCaw, or you can Google Father of the Bride.
One and two.
And there's a link from that right to my page just after all the you know the sponsorship.
I would
given
love
them.
It if you went edited like the wiki. Yeah, for Father the Brad to put your link in.
Becoming Bill.
That would be funny, but I wouldn't.
All right.
Well, if it appears, we know.
But you could.
I might. Guys, today's episode was brought to you by one of our very new Patreons.
Have we got a new Patreon?
We've got a new Patreon.
Are we at 1,000 yet?
Not yet.
Man, when is Zane going to dance?
I don't know. I don't know. But our good friend Meredith, thank you so much.
Thanks, yay. Meredith.
Tell your friends how great this is. How great and how wonderful it feels to be a Patreon. If you decide, you know what, that's for me. You can find us at patreon.com/musicals taught me everything I know. You can find us on our website at www.thatsnotcanonproductions.com/MTMEIK. You can find us on Facebook where we do just fun stuff. Basic Facebook, really. Facebook.com.
Facebook.
So what was that address?
Facebook. I'm going straight to Facebook and liking that. Basic Facebook. I hate that complicated Facebook.
It's a Facebook.com.
Oh, is it?
Have you got that one?
/
Facebook.com.
Our Facebook isn't basic. We're just using Facebook basically. What does that mean?
Go to our Facebook.com/musicals taught me everything I know. We have a Twitter. At Musicals Teach Me. We have an email so you can write in and tell us exactly how basic I am. At musicals taught me podcast at gmail.com. We also have so many ways you can find us. We have iTunes where you can subscribe, rate and review. We have Spotify and any podcatcher that you should choose.
Yeah.
But you guess what? You've already chosen it. Congratulations.
Well done. Yay! Well done. Really well done,
if you're
Jimmy.
Hearing my voice. We also have merch. You'll find it on our website. It's great. 2, 3 of the 5 people at the table are wearing Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know merch today.
It's true. Julie and I are wearing matching Zac Efron shirts.
Weird cast Zac Efron. We Hashtag sure weird cast Zac Efron, guys.
And our producer Zane, who's also at the table, oh, behind the curtains, is wearing Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know.
And I'm wearing a basic shirt with whales on it.
Basic?
I'd say it's
they're basic whales.
Pretty eccentric shirt. Basic whales. Yeah, agree.
Anyway, you can check out our Facebook, Insta, etc. for the photograph of Brad wearing his whale shirt.
Said basic shirt.
Yeah. Do it. Give it a likey loo.
Give it a likey loo.
All right. Thank you once again, Brad.
My pleasure. Thanks
it's
for having
been
me
delightful.
On.
Delightful.
And I'll see you next time with a wrap.
Yes!
Oh my goodness.
Can't wait
for
so Musicals Wrap.
Oh, I've been Julie Eisentrager. And with me,
1776, Miranda Selwood.
Sorry. And
it's me, KP.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye.
Objectively be bad?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we can't learn from it. I'm Alex Smith.
And I'm James Keogh.
And on our new podcast, My Songs Suck, we talk to writers and musicians who share with us some of their earlier, less good content and reflect on how far they've come.
If you want to get in on the fun, head to That's Not Canon Productions or find us on iTunes, Google Play, or whatever podcatcher you use.
My Songs Suck, because everyone makes mistakes.
Just make sure you record them.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.